Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joined by Dustin's new teammates of The Athletic, he is Joe Vardon. Joe, congrats on the new gig.
Oh, thanks, and it's good to be on, guys.
Was that really you texting the new phone number? Was that you, Joe?
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
in this day and age, you got to be very upfront. There's no hacking. This is not a mistake. This is really me. Hello.
Yeah, but you saying all that, it was a red flag for me. I was like, this is not Joe Vardon. This is somebody else pretending to be Joe. I get a text. He's got a new number.
What did it say? Yeah, okay.
No, it caught me off guard. I was like, there's no way that you would. It didn't sound like you, Joe.
Well, good. That's how I operate. I want people to be on edge at all times. So there you go.
Hi, this is Joe Vardon. For real, no hacking.
Like
who starts off their text like that?
I immediately think hacked. How do you not?
I thought it was hacked. No. I thought it was hacked.
I'm gonna say it's me.
All right, now I'm really saving it. Okay. I didn't save it. I thought it wasn't you. Sorry.
Next time I'll accompany a picture. How about that?
Yeah, we had Sal Palantonio the other day was texting the midday producer for Baskin and Phelps at like 2 in the morning after Baker's big game, and he signed it Sal Pal. Never texted with the guy, signed it Sal Pal. It's a power move is what it comes down to. You gotta make sure that people know. So you could be like, Joe Vardon. It makes sense. It makes sense all I'm down to.
All right.
Anyway, congratulations. Congratulations on the gig. Yeah. We look forward to reading you over there at The Athletic, and I enjoyed your opening piece. Tell us about Jimmy Butler and the odds of the Cavs actually landing him. Is there anything serious with this or no?
No, there isn't. I mean, just kind of been talking to people behind the scenes all day here in Independence about that, and there's not much to say. Yes, the Cavs made a call. 29 other teams or 28 other teams probably did. The Cavs don't have a ton to offer there in the way that Minnesota would want for a kind of player like Butler. Just because if you look at it, it's months before they can trade Kevin, which, they're not looking to do right now anyway, but, to entertain this, they can't move Kevin because they just signed him to an extension for a few months. They don't want to trade Colin Sexton, especially for a player who might leave at the end of the year, which is what Butler would be. They can't trade Rodney Hood for a while. They don't have their number one pick as of now is gone, unless they finish in the bottom 10, and they don't intend on doing that. Certainly wouldn't intend on doing that if Butler were here. So what do they have that Minnesota would even want? That's not realistic.
Yeah, I got excited for a second, then I'm like, wait a second, we don't have anybody to trade. I
mean, that's nothing, right.
Nothing that they would want. So, all right, so we move on, and so today is media day, and everyone's excited. How weird was it, Joe, without LeBron there? What was the vibe of media day? Did it seem different? Did it seem like, this is going to be a tough year, or are guys still excited?
Dustin, I don't think it's either. I think that some of the players are excited, but it's a different kind of excitement. I just think there is just a lot of room to breathe and relax here. And I think from the moment, when you walked in the door last year here for Media Day, you felt the pressure, you felt the weight, because you had LeBron hadn't said anything all summer, and he was entering the last year of his contract, of course, and they had just traded Kyrie, and Isaiah wasn't going to be ready for a while, and you knew that the final streak was on the line, and Boston had gotten better, and so it was just, and the whole year was like that. It had to be the most miserable 50 wins in NBA history. It was just a rough year, and now it was very quiet today. Very laid back, but you can kind of feel that with the coaches, and you can feel that with the front office, and certainly with the players. The players are looking to have fun. You don't you're not glad LeBron's gone. You want LeBron here, no doubt. But the things that come with LeBron, since you don't have him, then you're also glad, you're glad that those other things are gone then too. And so they're going to have a lot of room to, you know, either fail like everybody expects them to, or prove a lot of people wrong and have a lot of fun doing it.
Joe, does Ty Lue know that LeBron's not on the team at this point? I mean, some of these quotes, I don't see this as a rebuild, no tanking, being the best in the East, we haven't lost yet, have we? I mean, I get the optimism. You're trying to get the team started on the right foot, but he went a little bit overboard, don't you think?
Well, I mean, it's interesting, Jonathan, just to talk about Ty and to look at it from his perspective. You know, there are people close to him in this organization as well who regard him very highly as a coach, and he just didn't get a lot of credit with LeBron here because, you know, if you win, you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. So he's got a chance here. If they piece it together, it would, you know, everyone would see and credit Ty, and he's got a tremendous amount of confidence in himself to be able to do that. You also just have to consider, you know, from where Ty comes. I mean, he comes, you know, didn't have much growing up, had to fight his way through everything, you know, journeyman NBA player, first-time NBA coach, and he wins a championship. You know, he always talks about how there isn't pressure in sports because of just the things he's been through in his real life. And so, you know, why not approach this with bravado? You know, he thinks he can draw, you know, the X's and O's to put these guys in the right spots, and a couple things go their way, you know, then they do make it. So, you know, no one's talking finals here. No one's talking championships around here right now. But they're not talking about 20 wins either.
Joe, what sort of role do we think that Kevin Love will have now without LeBron James? Is he ready to step up and be the man?
We'll see. He did it almost as soon as he came in the league with Minnesota. But the last 4 years, I mean, of course they've changed him. He was a third wheel, and then he was number two behind LeBron last year. He's gained a whole different kind of notoriety for his being out front on mental health issues, and he's kind of taken up that cause. He's become a major endorser for a, you know, global clothing line in Banana Republic. And so, you know, he's also been an understudy to LeBron. So in the one sense, he had the experience of doing it, and then the last 4 years learned under LeBron. So you take that and you think he's ready to go. And then the second way to look at it would be, well, he's gotten so used to doing it this one way, it'll be an adjustment for him. So, you know, they need him. They need him to pull this group together. They need him to score late in the games. So we'll see. But you know, I mean, I liked that he gathered everybody or most everybody in Miami. That's something LeBron used to do, and now Kevin knew it was upon him to do it. So that's the first step. But you know, let's see if he asserts himself tomorrow at practice, and let's see if he shoots the ball at the end of the games, and let's see if he stays healthy.
Joined by The Athletic's Joe Vardon here on 92.3 The Fan. Joe, I think one of the hardest things for yourself, for anyone that's, you know, putting any content out there, is trying to measure the expectations versus what the expectations were over the previous 4 years for this fan base. How are you thinking this team will be in regards to that? Like, what do you expect them? Is the Vegas line at 30 where we start and then have the conversation? Because you know that fans are going to ultimately be upset towards the end of it when they realize, wait a second, is this a borderline playoff team? Like, what is this?
Well, the expectations game is so different now for this year, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, our job for 4 years here was to basically hold this team to a level of accountability that matched with LeBron being here. So being 29th in defense and winning 50 games, you know, that would be below, that's not living up to the accountability. So it was our job to demand more, you know, on behalf of the fans, and we did that. And you know, if you go through the course of the 4 years and look, you know, that's what we were here to do. And now because everything is so new. I think that we have to be more, you know, it is more of our job to see that players are developing, that, you know, there is room to grow, and that Ty is putting guys in the right places to be successful. I mean, Ty said today, it's not about wins and losses. It's about wins and lessons. I love that line, and if that's what this year is going to be, so be it. I mean, we have to make sure then that those lessons are being learned.
Is that exciting for you? Because I just know on a personal front for me, I've only been around one team that was like truly a juggernaut before doing anything with the Cavs. I covered Wichita State years ago, and it was a team that went to the Final Four, and it was just it was boring because you got to the point where you had to hold people accountable, but then you got to a point where you knew the result before tip-off even happened. This Cavs team still had a lot of drama over the previous 4 years, but is it refreshing to you to go through different storylines and go through different angles that maybe you hadn't necessarily had to think of over the previous 4 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I certainly, like anybody else associated with this team or even a fan, you know, I had the summer to look at this and to understand, you know, what this was going to be, who was leaving and who was coming back, and what that means. And so, yeah, today was a page turner, and now you start talking about the next chapter in Cavs basketball history. And it's always, I mean, that's one of the best things about this job, is that it's, you get to actually write the story that'll be read, you know, about this time in life of Cavs basketball 20 years from now. You know, maybe one day it will end, you know, a couple of years from now, like it did in 2016. I mean, but there's a long, long road to travel. And I think, you know, there is something to be said for, heading down that road. It's time to do it. And, you know, so let's go.
Joe, I see you in your Baker Mayfield jersey this weekend. You got one of those, didn't you?
I don't have one. You know, my college baseball number, Dustin, was actually 6.
Wow.
So I like it. But no, the jersey I wore was, I wore a Dante Whitner 31 gifted to me by Dave McMenamin, and at his going away party, because he's joining LeBron in Los Angeles, I strapped his name over the nameplate and wore that to town hall on Friday. So that was my jersey.
You sad? You gonna miss Dave?
That's my guy, man.
I know. I wish I could have been there with you guys. I was on the road, but it looked like a lot
of fun. You had football. It was a good time. It was a good time. Good send off. It was good to see some Cavs there as well. Just kind of, again, it just kind of shows, like, you know, when you're around people every day for 4 years, and the kind of 4 years that we had here, just kind of the bonds that form. You know, there's just something to be said about being a part of it, you know, or being around an organization that wins and won it all in 16. And, you know, like me, like, it was Dave's job to tell that story. So it was a great time. He's going to be great in LA, and, you know, I'll see him twice a year instead of every day.
No doubt. Joe Vardon is with us. Joe, hey, listen, we're happy to have you at The Athletic, and looking forward to the continued coverage that you do. You did a great job, of course. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled, excited to be there. You know, I said today a heartfelt thanks to Cleveland.com. They brought me to Cleveland, and, you know, for the best years I've ever had, wouldn't have been possible without their bringing me here. So, you know, but like the Cavs and like Cavs fans, it's a new chapter for me, and, you know, today was a pretty good start.
Joe Vardon, we appreciate the time. Talk to you later, man.
Okay, guys. Look forward to it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.